In 2005, delegates at a National General Assembly for Sierra Club voted to make climate change our top priority. Our campaign has developed since then to move our country as quickly as possible from fossil fuel usage to energy efficiency and renewables. Before high-volume horizontal hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, spread across the U.S., we thought natural gas could be a bridge fuel until we developed the efficiency and renewables more, because natural gas does emit less carbon dioxide than burning coal and oil. However, with each passing year, it has become clear that natural gas wells, especially wells that have been fracked, are leaking increasing levels of methane. Methane, now it's confusing, you'll hear different numbers, because it varies with the time span you're talking about. But methane, if you are talking about over just a 10-year span, methane is 100 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And keep in mind that the next 10 years are going to be crucial in preventing the worst consequences of climate change. The National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration has been measuring methane in areas where there is a concentration of natural gas wells. The leakage started at around 2%, then increased to 4%. Now areas in Utah and Colorado have 9% of the methane from the wells leaking. Scientists in a Princeton study have calculated that when the leakage of methane reaches 3.2% and above, natural gas becomes more damaging to our climate than even coal. Oil and gas operations, including fracking, have been exempted from our major environmental laws, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, RCRA, which controls disposal of solid waste, the Superfund Act, the Toxic Release Inventory, which is part of the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, and even OSHA, which protects workers. These are all have exemptions for oil and gas. So you need to ask yourself why the oil and gas industry has been exempted from these laws. First of all, follow the money. Second, we do not know how to control oil and gas operations, especially high volume horizontal hydraulic fracturing. This is among the most dangerous and dirty industries there is. To quote Mike Brune, the national director of Sierra Club, quote, "We don't know the extent of what can go wrong with fracking, and we don't have a full understanding of the potential threats to public health." Another great concern is water contamination. Underground injection of fracking fluids under extremely high pressure can find many pathways into underground water supplies, especially in southern Illinois, where we have many underground faults, abandoned wells, old mines, and already, you know, we have these pathways, even without the new pathways that may be created by this fracking process. So there's also spills and blowouts, flowback accidents, truck accidents, and overflows of open pits that can cause water contamination. So one real irony of fracking is that the industry needs clean water in order to carry out fracking. They cannot get water from the Ohio River or the Mississippi River because they are too polluted to use in fracking. And the corporations would have to spend money to clean up that water. Instead, they use the same water sources we depend on for drinking water and that wildlife depends on too. So this is not your grandmother's or your father's fracking, which used only tens of thousands of gallons of fracking fluid. This newer technology of the horizontal wells that can extend a mile or more. So they need millions of gallons of fresh water for each well. From 2 to 10 million gallons for each horizontal frack operation. And each well can be fracked as many as 18 times. So that means one well can use as much as 180 million gallons of water. To put that in perspective, in Carbondale and around Carbondale from Cedar Lake, we use 4 million gallons a day. So during a drought, what will happen? Illinois does not have a priority system for water. So the oil and gas industry would be competing with the Pepsi bottling plant, competing against farmers, and against residential uses during a drought. The industry compares itself to golf courses for the amount of water they use. However, there's a basic difference here. After the water is laced with fracking fluid, which contains dozens of toxic chemicals, which no wastewater treatment plant in Illinois is prepared to treat, the fluid can be reused maybe once or twice, but that is rarely done. The waste fluid eventually must be pumped into deep injection wells. And that is another pollution pathway to underground aquifers. Also, there has been a strong correlation between the high pressure injection into deep wastewater wells and earthquakes. So, in addition to the toxic chemicals in fracking fluid, we need to be concerned about substances that are presently below the ground that are brought up to the surface by these fracking wells. So, even if the fracking fluid were not toxic, which it is, the fracking operations that go thousands of feet underground often bring up extremely salty water, plus heavy metals such as arsenic and selenium, plus radioactive materials. In fact, geologic studies of the New Albany Shale has found hot zones where the radioactivity is 2 to 4 times the average radioactivity. One study of New Albany Shale stated, quote, because of its high organic content, this black shale tends to have high concentrations of radioactive elements such as uranium and thorium, unquote. Health studies have shown that there's a large increase in health problems for people who live within a half mile of a fracking well site. Setbacks in current laws are totally inadequate to protect the health of humans and livestock. There have been many instances of cows dying and stillborn or deformed calves near frack well sites. Cows have become our so-called canaries in the coal mine. Their health problems and deaths give us an early warning that methane and toxic chemicals from fracking fluids have reached dangerous levels. Oil and gas operations have also been exempted from the Clean Air Act. Clusters of wells can add up to a major source of air pollution. In fact, areas of Wyoming have such high levels of volatile organic compounds that evaporate into the air that these areas that previously had very pristine air now have smog that exceeds the smog in Los Angeles. But this is not being controlled by federal laws nor Illinois regulations, including the hydrogen sulfide that is associated with natural gas production and is a lethal gas. A recently published peer review study by the Endocrine Disruption Exchange was designed to assess air quality in a rural western Colorado area where residences and well sites coexist. Weekly air sampling for 1 year showed that methylene chloride, a toxic solvent not reported in products used in drilling or hydraulic fracturing, was detected 73% of the time, sometimes in high concentrations. A literature research of the health effects of the non-methane hydrocarbons revealed that many had multiple health effects, including 30 that affect the endocrine system, which is very susceptible to chemical impacts at very low concentrations, even impacts at concentrations that are far below current government standards. So in this study, they also showed that the PAHs were at concentrations greater than those that have been shown to lead to lower development and lower IQ scores for children who are exposed to these chemicals before birth. CERCLA, better known as the Superfund Act, ensures that parties contributing to an environmental mess are legally responsible for the cost of cleaning it up, unless that mess is caused by oil or natural gas. This means that oil and gas producers can cut corners, spill and leak chemicals, and not worry about having to clean up the site or be liable for cleanup. Currently, liability for cleanup must be proven in court for each site. Over 700 chemicals have been used by the industry in the fracking process. Many are regulated as hazardous chemicals at the factory, but as soon as they are injected into a well because of all these loopholes, they are legally not hazardous. Magic, all of a sudden. According to the EPA exemptions, a U.S. Congressional Committee report in 2011 stated that of 2,500 fracking products used, more than 650 contained known or possible human carcinogens. Okay. Even the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act does not apply to oil and gas drilling, so the industry is exempt from reporting releases. We are especially concerned about fracking in southern Illinois because there are three major active faults here. The cement casings for production wells will fail over time, but a major earthquake could cause ruptures in cement at any time, leading to greatly increased risks. Sierra Club supports a ban on fracking in wilderness areas, roadless areas, state parks and forests, designated wildlife areas, and municipal watersheds. We are especially concerned here in Illinois to keep oil and gas drilling out of our parks, such as Shawnee National Forest, Giant City, Fern Cliff, and away from our lakes, such as Cedar Lake and Lake Kincaid. Illinois Chapter Sierra Club has also opposed a frack sand mine, which is located adjacent to Starved Rock State Park. The problem of silicosis, which seriously damages lungs, is a serious concern for residents, workers, recreationists, and tourists near the mine. Okay, I want to quote the National Sierra Club Executive Director. "We oppose opening up new landscapes to drilling when we need to put all of our efforts into developing renewable sources of energy like wind and solar and doubling down on energy efficiency. The Sierra Club maintains that a moratorium is the best way to proceed now to ensure that public health and the environment are fully protected from the dangers of fracking.